Turn with me this morning into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, as we are continuing Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is now bringing everything to a close. And it's very important in chapter 7, starting there in verse 13, that we realize that when we get to verse 13 of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that he's now telling us that he's closing out his sermon. The sermon is over. And he's challenging those who had been listening to make a decision. He uses the word enter, which is an invitation. He says for those to enter by the narrow gate or the narrow way. And to do that, there's only one way to go into the narrow way, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And that was last week. Now, Jesus told us that there are absolutely, unequivocally, only two roads that a man or woman in this life who has ever been born can walk on. And that's either the narrow road which leads to eternal life that gets you to heaven, and Jesus Christ is the narrow way, or the road that is the broad way which leads to eternal destruction. Every person in this room, every person that has ever been born is living upon one or two of those roads. You're either on your way to heaven or you're not. I didn't say that, God did. God loves you. And what's so wonderful about God's Word is this, is that so many people today, they are searching for the truth. They want to know, how do I find the truth? Let me tell you right now where it is. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and he is the absolute only and the only and will always be the only way to the Father and the only way to heaven. There is absolutely no other way. Now, if you know that, happy are you this morning, especially if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Now, however, now that we've entered the narrow gate, now that we're on the road that leads to life, now that we're following our Lord and Savior, Jesus, and whatever he tells us to do, we're doing, we're obeying him, now there are problems ahead. It's interesting that Jesus starts out in our scripture this morning. If you would look with me in verse 15 and let me read the entire text. Jesus starts out this way as he is closing. He says to us on the narrow way, watch. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, the word there means pointing back to the false prophets, by their fruits you will know them. Jesus just warned us. Listen to me carefully, church. If there is a message that I pray that you just receive into your heart this morning, no, it's not going to be about having your needs met, okay? I'm sorry. It's not going to be about maybe pumping you up, making you feel good, having the assurance of salvation. I hope it does all of those things. But this morning, it's a warning. And if I could put a title upon this message, I think I would just simply entitle it, False Prophets or False Shepherds. And Jesus starts out, he uses a word there. He says, there is danger in front of you, you who are on the narrow road. It is amazing to me. It is simply amazing that we come to Christ and we think everything's going to be all right. And what we don't realize that there are people that are planted by Satan or through the desire of their own flesh who desire to destroy you, to use you as a product, to gain, to manipulate, to take your money, to take your funds or whatever it is, but to use you, to draw people after themselves. We live in the most dangerous time in the history of Christianity. At least back in the early times when they were being thrown to the lions, we knew what we believed. Today, the church is confused. Today, the church, some pulpits are not even preaching the truth. They're not preaching the virgin birth or the resurrection of our Lord, salvation through grace by faith alone. They're not teaching any of those things, that only the blood of Jesus can wash away a person's sin, that there's only one way to God, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus. They're teaching many, many other things. We live in a very dangerous time when 1,000 voices every day from TV, radio, and books and every kind of other thing, internet, comes your way to confuse you and try to say, walk this way all the voices of the ungodly, all the voices of the deceivers. So Jesus tells us right here, he says, I want you to be careful. I want you to beware because there are ravenous wolves on the narrow road that's going to try to devour you. Now, the Bible warns us about false brothers, false apostles, false teachers, false Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, he said, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So now that we realize what we're facing, we need to understand something. That the only way that we can understand how to avoid false teachers or false prophets is to understand what the Word of God says. That's why the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge, because you have forgotten the law of your God. This morning, as we look at verse 15 and begin, I want you to remember something. Please remember this. Who is doing the warning? It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. He's telling us to beware. And that word beware is an important word because it literally means in the Greek, it's saying do not lend your mind to the voices of this world. In other words, keep your mind back. Hold your mind away from what? It says false prophets, meaning those who speak or say that they speak for God. Now, it says who come to you, how? In sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Wolves like lamb. They like lamb chops. And wolves love to find Christians that are outside the fold, outside of the flock, all alone, all by themselves. They're an easy prey because they're not hearing the Word of God every day. They're not, probably if they're outside of the church and they're not going to church, they're not connected and committed someplace, then they're probably not in prayer. They're probably not praying every day, studying the Word like they should. And somehow or another, the voice of God is so distant to them. And then everything that just comes their way, they say, oh, maybe that'll work or maybe this will work. No, there's only one thing that will work. It's found right here. You have 66 books. Discover them all. And they'll help you in everything that you do in your life. They'll be a light unto your path. Now, so Jesus here tells us not only to beware, hold your mind away from, keep away from false prophets, but he tells us how they come to us. He says they come to us disguised. They look harmless. In other words, they don't walk up, you know, and say, good morning, I'm a false prophet. I'm here to destroy you and your family's life. You see my fangs? You see my teeth? Hey, I'm going to chew you up. Oh, what big eyes you have. No, no. They don't do that. No, they come to you and they're totally disguised. And, you know, and what you really have to understand here is that false prophets do not deceive the church or the flock of God, us. False prophets don't deceive us by being one of the sheep or by impersonating the sheep. They deceive us by impersonating the shepherd. They don't want to be a sheep. They don't want to be just a normal sheep. No, no, no. They want to put on the outfit of the shepherd. In other words, the woolen garment. And they want to tell all the little sheep and all the little lambs, walk this way. Come follow me. I'll lead you where you need to go. They're false shepherds. So they do not impersonate the sheep, but they impersonate the shepherd. And that's very important that you realize that because false prophets... Listen, everything I say to you, I've said it often from this pulpit, and I'll say it again this morning. You need to ask yourself, in other words, check me out. Am I teaching the truth? Find out for yourself. Don't take my word on it. Be a Berean. Get into God's word and chew it up for yourself and say, hey, he was right about that, wasn't he? Don't just take my word. I want you to check me out. Be discerning. Judge what I say this morning. Always do that. I promise you that a false prophet won't tell you that unless you're going to tithe real big. Now, so Jesus tells us to beware, and then he tells us to beware of what? Not only how they come to you. They come to you as sheep, they're disguised, but then Jesus tells us this. Let me tell you about their inward nature, their inward character, because they come to you how? It says here, inwardly, they are what? Ravenous wolves. In other words, they're clever, they're hunters, they're looking for a victim. And that word ravenous, which is an adjective there, it stresses, in other words, it's actually talking about they're robbers, they're greedy for gain. They want to use you, they want to abuse you, they want to take everything you have. They're not interested in you, they are interested in what you have, how you can satisfy their appetite, because they inwardly, even though outwardly they look just like a loving pastor, inwardly they're a ferocious wolf, and they just look at you, and when they do, they just see dollar signs or whatever, and they just want to chew you up. And that's what Jesus is warning us about. You remember when Paul, as he was leaving for Rome, he was with the church elders at Ephesus, and they took him outside of the city. And as they did, they were weeping and crying. And Paul told them this in Acts 20, verse 27. Paul says to them, "I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now listen up. For Paul writes, he says, "For I know this." In other words, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Paul says, "After my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and also, listen up now, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." The true mark of a false teacher, the true mark of a false prophet is this: they always draw people to them. "I've got a new doctrine. You've got to hear this new book. Nobody else has it. God's given it to me and me only. I'm the one. You need this. Just send in your $200 today and you'll get it." Well, Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely you give." You got something going for you. You got it from God. Why don't you give it to everybody? You know what I mean? Listen, they draw disciples after themselves, and a true mark of a false teacher is one who wants you to idolize them and lift them up, put them on a pedestal. I remember a pastor from this city, which I will not name, and who had an incredible, actually a healing in his wife's life. God healed his wife through a church that did not even believe that God healed. And the Lord touched this woman and healed her body. And the next Sunday, at this very large church right down the freeway here, this man and his wife, the one that was healed, stood on the steps of the church passing out bulletins to the new church that they were forming down the street. Now, isn't that amazing? And what were they doing? Well, first of all, they weren't connected and committed. They should have been in there thanking God that God moved in that fellowship that healed his wife's life. But they use that for an occasion to say, "No, we're something special, and God has touched us, and now we're anointed to do such and such. This man is not necessarily, you know, he's not really on the end thing with God now, but we are down the street." And you know what? Boy, his church really grew. How come? Because of little lambs that don't know the word of God. Church, listen to me. How can we fight against those that lie if you do not know the truth of God's word? When you say, "Well, Bill, you have to go to seminary for that." No, you don't. "Well, I have to go to Bible college." No, you don't. You just have to be born again and get into the word and let the Spirit of God teach you and lead you. Amen. Be faithful in church and just study the word of God, and God will show you what he doesn't want you to be deceived. So how do we recognize false teachers, false prophets? How do we do that? Well, first of all, like I told you a moment ago, they just don't walk up and say, "Hey, I'm getting ready to destroy your life with some false doctrine." And what I want you to realize about a false teacher is this: false teachers, false prophets, false shepherds, they just don't come in here and preach an untruth. What I mean is they teach the truth. They teach the truth of God's word. But what they do so slowly and so subtly is this: they come in and they slowly introduce lies mixed with the truth in a very persuasive manner by taking the Word of God out of context and building a brand new doctrine on it. And when the Word of God is very clear, you know, there are no new doctrines. Is that okay? There's not any new things that are happening. There's just a bunch of old things that the devil is doing, okay? There's not anything new. Listen, let me tell you the next new thing that's going to happen. All of a sudden, we'll be sitting here one day, and there'll just be a bunch of clothes left in the seats because we're gone, amen? That's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you something. No one wants a move of God more than I do. Trust me. I want to see God move, yes, and save souls. I want to see him change a generation of young kids. Listen, this church is investing in children. If you're looking for a family church, you found a family church, because we want our kids to be taught the Word of God. And I tell you what, I honor and applaud every teacher and every helper in this place who gives their time to pray and study and teach the children of this church. Thank God for them. Amen? It's important. Now, but whenever you want to discern if someone's a false teacher, see, it's just not as easy as it sounds. You say, "Well, I'm going to look at him real hard and I'll know." I'll never forget one night I picked up a famous Christian entertainer because I used to work in the concert industry, and I picked him up at the airport, and he had about 15 bags, and he made me carry every one of them. He didn't know I was the pastor, see. Didn't offer to help, and here I am lugging. When I'm telling you 15, I'm not kidding. There were five of those guys. So I load them all up into this big Suburban, and the whole time he was looking at me. You know that look? In other words, I am discerning what you are. You can't discern somebody by looking at somebody. Are you a moron? Huh? Listen, I was trying to read something a minute ago, and I was wondering why it was crooked, and I realized my bifocals were on sideways. It was me. It wasn't crooked. I was going to ask Shannon. I said, Shannon, why did this print down like this? But it was my eyeglasses, you see. No, you've got to open your heart. You've got to know God's word if you're going to be able to discern something. So it's not as easy as it sounds. So Jesus, look what he tells us to do here in verse 16. He tells us now, church, Calvary Chapel, you will know them how? It says, by their fruits. Now, from verses 15 through 20, Jesus uses the word fruit six times. So that has to be key to our investigation here this morning. So he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? Well, no, of course not. Do they gather figs from thistles? Well, no, they don't do that either. See, it'd be very easy for us if someone came to the pulpit and just said, you know, I want you to know this morning that I do not believe in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe it was a hoax. Well, then you'd know to vacate the church immediately. You understand? Or you could just go ahead and skin the wolf and get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? You could do something like that. So Jesus says in verse 17, he says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. All right, now listen. We have two trees. And here's what I don't want you to miss. Both of those trees are producing fruit. And that's how we kind of look, well, that's a bad tree. No, the word bad there doesn't mean the tree is rotten. It doesn't mean the tree is corrupt, because a bad, rotten, or corrupt tree cannot produce anything. But, you know, you understand? But these two trees that Jesus is talking about, both of them are producing fruit. And even it says the evil fruit, that doesn't mean that it's rotten, because a bad tree, an evil movement can produce tons of evil and bad fruit. They can be extremely fruitful. You know, a lot of people say, man, this church over here is exploding, and God must be there because it's growing. Well, you know what? That's wonderful, and I pray that God adds to the church daily like I know He does. But that is not an indication that that church is being fruitful under God's banner. Amen? Listen, I love everyone. I love all people. But there are theologies on our planet that I literally despise. I do not hate the people that hold these theologies, but I despise the theology because they lead people to hell. One of the theologies that I despise and loathe is Mormonism. Now, listen, dear one, if you are visiting us and you're from the Mormon church, I embrace you, I love you, but I warn you, as Jesus does, that you're on the broad way. And their doctrine does not lead to heaven. It leads to hell. Just that simple. There's no other way around it. And so you can look at the Mormon theology and even take a look at the people. And they are lovely people. They love their families. They love their wives. They're good people. They're hardworking people. They save. They pay their bills. And you know what? Some of them are actually more faithful in church attendance than the Christian is. But that's all outward. Listen, it doesn't mean that they're on the narrow road. It means they're on the broad road, because they take this book here and they say, yes, we hold to this book, but let us lay this book alongside of it to help you out. No, that contradicts Scripture. You see, if you know the Word of God, you can tell the Book of Mormon, you know, you can tell Moroni, as I always say, he's full of baloney, okay? In other words, when you turn to Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes and says, if an angel from heaven or anybody brings unto you another gospel, let him be accursed. And then Paul repeats it all over again. Well, who in the world brought this another gospel to man? It was some angel. Well, and then after I read that to them, and I do it in love, I'm not there to beat them to death. I love them. I want them to be in heaven. Yeah, man. And they go, well, let me show you this. I said, I don't need to read your little book. This is the only book I need. It's closed. The canon is closed. There's 66 books, and God's not going to take away from or add. It's over with. This is it. So, you know, we have to be careful about things like that. And so many people, you know, hear call into the church, and they want to know, well, do you have a singles ministry? Do you have a this ministry? Do you have a seniors? And you know, yes, 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 yes. Well, do you have a child? Oh, yes, we do. But they never say or ask, do you teach God's truth there? Now, those are the kind of people that, hey, or it could be those ones that go, I don't know if I want to talk to you or not. You understand? Because it could be these weirdos, you know. Let me tell you what the truth is, you know. Well, the truth is the Word of God. That's the truth. Now, so we have to be careful on what's going on here. So, you know, we look at the things that are happening in this world, and you remember some years back, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I think it's been that long, might be a little longer, Jim Jones and the People's Temple Church. Remember, he led the people out of America down to Guyana. He started a colony there and he named it after himself, Jonestown. And then nearly 1,000 people committed suicide. Remember, they drank the little orange juice or the little Kool-Aid with the strychnine in it. And 1,000 of them perished, you know, there in the jungles of Guyana. And what was frightening about all of that is most of them, 99% of the people who died, were raised in godly Christian homes. And yet they perished. Mel White, in his book called Deceived, let me just read an insert of what he said about fascinating study into this. And he was determining why so many people were misled. Why do so many Christians go astray? He writes and he says this. He says, Jim Jones knew how to inspire hope. He was committed to people in need. Jim Jones, he counseled prisoners, juvenile delinquents. He started a job placement center. He opened rest homes and homes for the retarded. He had a health clinic. He organized a vocational training center. He provided free legal aid. He founded a community center. He preached about God. He even claimed to cast out demons and do miracles and heal the sick. Well, listen, man, that sounds like good fruit to me, doesn't it to you? I mean, you start thinking about all of this man did, and just to be able to inspire hope in people, and that's what people need right now. Some of you are sitting there going, I need hope. Let me tell you who the hope is. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, hope of glory. Amen? That's who our hope is. That's who we're looking at. Put on the helmet of salvation, man, and start getting the mind of Christ. Listen, and they were deceived. Even after all of that wonderful fruit that I just spoke to you, but yet he continues in his book and he says, on the other hand, we find that Jim Jones possessed all the marks of a false prophet. He promoted himself through the use of celebrities. He manipulated the press. He used the language and forms of faith to gain his power. Before his bizarre death, he managed to gain the admiration and praises of church leaders, governors, senators, congressmen, and even the President of the United States. He was a false prophet. He led over 1,000 people to their death. He caused countless misery and heartache to hundreds of people. He was a liar and he was a deceiver. And what breaks your heart about this is the greatest tragedy in Jonestown was not that they perished, but they perished believing that they were following God and doing God's will, and yet they were on the broad road following the work of Satan. Tragedy. And that's what happens if you don't know God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, folks, listen to me, moms, dads, singles, everybody, if you don't know God's Word, how do you know I'm telling you the truth this morning? How do you know I'm loving you and saying, this is the way, walk in it, unless you say, that's right, Bill, I've studied out, right on, feed me some more, this is good stuff. You've got to know what the Word of God says. See, true fruit bearing begins on the inside. When you come to Christ, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, is love. That's right, love. Think about it. That's the first fruit, or actually the only fruit, and everything else is an offshoot of that. But you know, you can't hide who you really are for very long. You know, the heart, what's in our heart will finally emerge. John Calvin put it this way. He said, nothing is more difficult than to counterfeit virtue. Isn't that true? In other words, you can only pretend to love somebody so long. I mean, let's take your mother-in-law, for example. Now, wait a minute. I love my mother-in-law. I'm just using that for, I'm just saying maybe it was you don't. I don't know. I'm in love with my mother-in-law. I'm going to preach to this side of the church now. No, I'm serious. You know, and your mother-in-law, of course, loves you. Yes, absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what now. If you don't love your mother-in-law and you pretend to love your mother-in-law, it's only a matter of time before it finally comes out and you say, I don't love you. Come on, folks. You can only pretend to be a Christian for so long. You can only keep a sheep's clothing on you for so long, and after a while it becomes uncomfortable and say, it's too hot in here. I've got to unzip and come out and be, I want to be who I really am. Why? Because the true appetite of a person's heart will finally emerge. You can't hide it. And that's what happens here with these false prophets and false teachers. That's why Jesus said in verse 19, he said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Boy, those that teach lies, those that manipulate the flock of God, those who look upon the church as a means of gain, financial gain, to use you, abuse you, and just see dollar signs, and always begging for money, and always, you know, this and that, and all for gain for themselves. God says they have an eternal destiny. And it's not like taking a bush or like a tree back here and taking it and throwing it into a campfire. No, their destiny is eternal hell. The Bible says in Jude that they are going to be sent into the blackness of darkness forever and ever and ever. That's what their destiny is. That's where they're going. Jesus says there in verse 20, he says, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, for the second time in our study, Jesus tells us how to recognize false prophets. Now listen up. It will not be by appearance. I just told you a moment ago, they come to us in sheep's clothing. And you say, well, you know what, Bill? I know how to really do it. It's by signs and wonders. Really? Yeah, you know, when people get healed. I thank God when people are healed. I rejoice to see that. Would you look at verse 21? Actually, this has to do with those who profess. Those are false prophets and these are false professors, but that's next week. But it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, there's a word, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, now look what they've done, signs and wonders, prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. Jesus says, I declare unto you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Now listen, signs and wonders are not a criteria to prove that a person is born from above. Yet today, the greatest deception in the church, I believe, is that. And I believe it's preparing the way for 2 Thessalonians when it talks about the lying signs and wonders that are coming with the Antichrist, the things that he's going to do. And it says, by them, the lying signs and wonders, he'll deceive the very elect. Does God heal? Yes, God is a healer. Are there demonic warfare today? Absolutely. And we have authority over that, no doubt about it. However, just because that is occurring in someone's ministry doesn't mean they're of God. You see, there's a difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are not a sign of spiritual maturity. They are not a sign of character. They have absolutely nothing to do with a man's character, maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you determine if a man is mature or growing in Christ? You go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace. You know what I mean? You look that way. And there's something else. You look to see if he's operating in love. See, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I have can do all miracles and all signs and have all kinds of faith, say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, but have not love. And actually in the Amplified Version, it says, I am a useless nobody. No, I'm no one. I'm useless to God. See, love is the true criteria. That's the upper room, man. That's the upper room experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it could be accompanied with the evidence of tongues, no doubt. But what I'm saying is, the true mark of a Christian is that he loves God, but he loves one another. John 13, write it down and study it when you get home. John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus told us, he said, the whole world will know you're my disciples when you love one another as I have loved you. So that's the key right there. So, but we look at this, and signs and wonders, you know, are not a sign at all that there's a fruit in someone's ministry. Let me tell you something. Did you know that something can be real and not be true? Did you know that? Something can be real. You could have an experience and yet it not be true. There are other spirits besides the Holy Spirit. There are other gospels besides our gospel. Do you understand? There are people that preach, it says in Corinthians, another Jesus, another gospel, and it gives another spirit. Think about that, folks. See, something can happen to you, and you can have an experience, and that experience not be real. Not be real at all. Very important that you remember that. Now, so how are we going to identify them here? Well, fruit, as I said, means more than conduct. And we have to be able to know what they teach. That's the secret. You have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In other words, you have to know your Bible. It's interesting to me that the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, I've noticed lately, I don't know if you've caught this or not, have you noticed how they changed their Bible? And it's no longer green. Have you noticed that? Now it's black. They're trying to match up our Bible with their Bible. And it's very interesting. They want to look like you. It's interesting that the Mormons, for example, have now, they want to drop the Latter-day Saints. They want to be called Christians. Why? Well, but they want to be like you. So there's a little bit more of the sheep clothing to come on. Now, bad theology. Okay, what I want to do is make one application in the time that we have to help us determine about false prophets. And you know, listen, I don't enjoy talking about this really. You know, you get into the Word of God and then and prove people that are the ones that are lying to you, then you know and live your life and be happy. Amen? But you see, we need to know this because I know from being a pastor for so many years that not everybody opens their Bible. Unfortunately, they just dip and skip and they don't go through and study it out. So look at, just turn with me very quickly to the Jude, which is the last little epistle right by the book of Revelation. Just go to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and turn back one page. And you'll see the Epistle of Jude, little 25 short scriptures there. And let's do something for a moment. Let's unzip the suit, that the disguise that they're wearing, and let's find this out here. Look at verse 3. Jude writes and he says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." In other words, Jude says, listen, folks, I was getting ready to write this letter about our common salvation. I wanted to just encourage you and exhort you and bless you and all of these things. He says, but all of a sudden something happened, and I realized that I needed to write to you to earnestly contend for the faith. What's the faith? 66 books of the Bible. And it says that has once and for all. And when it says once and for all, that means it's closed. 66 books, no more, no less. And it means this also, that it has been delivered to who? Who was it delivered to? Go ahead and say it. Thank you. It was delivered to the saints of God. That's you, the set apart ones, those that God has set apart. That means that you and I, if we really are going to know how to discern whether a man or woman is speaking the truth on TV, the radio, or by book, or in the pulpit, it means that you're going to have to say, I am going to earnestly contend for the faith that has once and for all been delivered to me. I'm going to know what the Word of God says. I'm not going to be deceived. My children are not going to be deceived. And I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to stay on the narrow road, and no one is going to stop my progress. No one. And here's the problem. The word contend there means to fight. It means to battle, but it doesn't mean to be mean or rude. It doesn't mean to be contentious. It just means to contend for the faith, the Word of God, the gospel. Why? Well, look at verse 4. It tells us why. For certain men, now that's the wolves, okay, that's the false teachers. Well, look what they've done. They have crept in, that's a key word there, unnoticed. In other words, they don't come in the front door, they slip in the side door. They don't want to be noticed, you know. And it says, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, now look what they do, who turn the grace of our Lord God into lewdness and deny the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did they creep into? They didn't creep down the street. They crept into the church. See, listen, the danger, folks, is in the church, not outside the church. You're not going to go down here and join a cult. No, you're not going to do that. But where the problem is like it says, dangerous people, savage wolves, certain men, they have crept in unnoticed. They take their time. They work their way in. Wolves, you know what we do with wolves here? We skin them. Yeah, we watch for wolves. We know when, they come in and they want to start, asking for this and doing this. Well, I want to do this. I've got this new doctrine. I've got this. No, you're going down the street and give it to them. You're not going to give it to us. We're going to stay with the Word of God. We're not going to be fooled by the trickery of men, it says in Ephesians 4:11. Amen? We're not going to be blown about with every wind of doctrine that blows through Fort Worth. We're not going to do that. So we have to realize that these people, they come in, but what breaks my heart is look what they come in to do. It says, who turn or change, that's what the word means, the grace of our Lord into lewdness. Doesn't that break your heart? They come in and they say, oh, listen, God loves you. It's okay to live any way you want. God understands you're just weak and pathetic people. And listen, it's okay. You know, I mean, we're for everybody. We're for all people. We're not here to judge you. Are you into homosexuality? Oh, come on in. It's all right. You know, are you into adultery? Oh, listen, we're just trying to make it too. Well, that's hogwash. Do you understand? That's hogwash. That's a lie from hell. When you come to Christ Jesus, not only are all of your sins forgiven, but you're now a new creation in Christ. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, not only that, but look what else that they do here. Look down at verse 12. It says, "These are spots in your love feast, and while they feast with you, without fear, serving only themselves." What does that mean? Well, Jude is telling us, first of all, what these false teachers are. He calls them, first thing he calls them, spots. What a word. And then he tells you where to find them. They're in the love feast. Well, what is a love feast? Well, back in the time of Christ, a love feast was when they had supper before communion. You remember in John chapter 13, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they had dinner, and then he washed their feet, and then they broke the bread. Remember, they had a communion meal. Well, let me ask you a question. What spot in the upper room in John chapter 13 was hanging out with the 12? Judas. You see, he'd crept in, but he crept in unaware among the disciples, but not unaware among our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now look at this. It says here in verse 12, "These are spots in your love feast, and while they feast with you without fear," they're not afraid, they have no fear of God. Look what happens, "serving only themselves." That word "serving" there is the same word we use for shepherd. In other words, they're not shepherding the flock. They're false shepherds, but they're asking you to take care of them, and they're doing it without fear. They're enjoying the love feast, and the love feast is on you. They're eating your bread. They're taking advantage of you. They're using you for whatever they desire. And God says they are a spot. You do a word study when you get home in the Greek on that word "spot," and here's what you'll find out, that word "spot" paints a picture of a reef, a coral reef, under the water. And it shows a picture of a boat coming, and the boat doesn't see the reef because it's just right under the water. And as it goes across it, it rips out the bottom of the boat, and the boat starts sinking. In other words, it's shipwrecked. And that's what a spot wants to do to you. It wants to shipwreck your faith. It wants to destroy you. They come from all over. Listen, it amazes me how people are so gullible today about the money situation. I mean, they just send in money for everything. I'm going to shock you with something in case you don't know this. Well, let me just finish, Jude. Look at this for a minute. It says they are clouds without water. In other words, they promise refreshing. They say, "Oh, we're going to, you're just believe for your miracle. Send in your $1,000 today. Go ahead and put it on a credit card if you can. Don't worry about it. And God's going to just heal your body," you know, something nonsense like that. They're clouds without water. In other words, they look like they're going to give you a lot of rain. It looks like they're going to provide a refreshing and a blessing, but they don't. It says that they're what? They are clouds without water, carried away by the winds. Oh, late autumn trees, there it is, without fruit. In other words, they're supposed to have fruit in the autumn, but they don't have a thing. They're twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea. They have absolutely no foundation, foaming up their shame. Everything that blows up on the beach that they do, it just is destruction and refuge. And they're wandering stars for whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness forever. Unbelievable. The fate of the false teachers. You know, it bothers me today when I see so many people so gullible to the horrible things that are happening in the Christian world and being taken advantage of, especially on TV. And that doesn't mean that everyone on TV is bad. I'm not saying that at all. There's wonderful ministries on television. But there are some that are absolutely pathetic. And it just amazes me that Christians just pour money and tons of money into their coffers. Did you know that the number one characteristic of a false teacher is covetousness? That's what 2 Peter talks about. In other words, where they make merchandise of people. They used you and to exploit you. It's amazing. I saw a guy on the TV just the other day. He says, "This is my second Rolls Royce, and I'm proud of it." And I was going, "Well, I don't care if you have a Rolls Royce, but why would you even say anything about that?" You see, it's the same problem we had in the book of Job, where people say, well, if you're blessed and you're rich, God has blessed you, and if you're not doing well, God hasn't blessed you. That is a lie. Let me tell you something. You may be in this room this morning, and your faith may be as low as the bottom of this carpet. You may have walked in here with your head hung down, but if you're a child of the living God, I want you to know something this morning. You are more than a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Not because you've confessed it, not because you've claimed it, because I'll tell you why. Because you are in the one who conquered the world, amen, who's overcome everything. And if you're in him, you don't have anything to worry about. And let me tell you something else. When you are faithless, when you can't go on, I want you to know that Jesus will pick you up and he'll get you there. He'll always get you home because he is the good shepherd. And the problem that's going across the telecast today, they're saying, you know what? If you don't give, you're not going to get. You know, the reason you didn't receive is because you didn't believe. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's called faith in your faith. That's using faith as a force. That is wrong doctrine. Listen, church, our faith has an object, and the object of a Christian's faith is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That word looking means to set our gaze constant, never taking our eyes off him. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's our forerunner. He's our high priest. I keep my eyes right there. Why? He's going to get me home. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hardship. It doesn't mean sometimes you're not going to be sick. And it doesn't mean that God's not a healer. And it doesn't mean that God's not a deliverer. God is all those things. But we have to understand that there are problems today. And there are people that they try to take advantage of the sheep, and they use religion as a means to gain wealth. And they do that by enticing unstable souls, as it says in Peter. They promise everything. Now listen, I'm not one to say names, but I want to say this. There was a man, and actually I think they finally kicked him out of the ministry in about 1991. He had the Success in Life series and all that nonsense that he was doing over there. And I don't know that you know this or not, but he's back on TV. And he's making $50 million a year. He lives down in Florida. He's on a network down there that's going out on cable. Now listen to me. What amazes me is that what you're seeing on cable and on TV are all reruns. He's not preaching anything new. In other words, it's just he's saying, here, take this old tape, put it in, and let them watch it. And you know what? He's using the same old ploy, and all these millions of dollars are coming in all over again. And you know why that's happening? I'll tell you why. Because false teachers prey upon those that are hurting, on Christians who are hurting, Christians who are sick and ill. Listen to me. When you're sick and you're ill, and somebody on TV and who appears to be a man of God goes, listen, I know, sweetie, I know how you're, what you're going through, and God loves you, and here's what God has spoken into my heart this morning. Oh, listen, loved one, you must turn the set up, lay your hand on the set, whatever you do, but here's what I want you to do. I want to pray for you. I want you to know that God is going to heal you, and just put your faith out, and here's how I want you to do it. Just send in right now, write out a check, your greatest offer. Just go ahead and give with all the abundance that you can. Send it in right now. And when I receive that, I'm going to pray and agree with you, and God's going to touch your body. You know what they need to do? I'll tell you what my granddaddy would have done. He'd have horsewhipped that man. And there comes a time when the church, and you know what's wrong with the church? We've turned into a bunch of sissies. Oh, come on now. I love you, and you know I love you. But you know something? We need to stand up for what we believe in, and when a man is a liar, we need to say, in love, not in meanness. Not grabbing our Bible going, I'm going to beat you, or get the horse whip out. Don't do that either. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, then speak the truth in love. A man is a liar, he's a liar. A man is a false prophet, he's a false prophet. Man, listen, folks, we're living in dangerous times. And if we don't stand up for our rights right now, and if we don't warn other Christians and teach the truth, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. So what's the final verdict here this morning? Well, there's only one way for you not to be deceived. And that's for you to hide God's word in your heart. There it is. You have it in your hand, you have it in your home, and you renew your mind to the word of God. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Don't let people manipulate you. Listen, there's nothing wrong with people talking about money in the church, about tithes and offerings. That's a godly thing to do. I don't mean that. Now, don't start thinking, well, Bill, you mean anybody that starts talking about money? No, nonsense. I'm talking about those that you know what I mean. You know exactly what you've watched TV enough. Stop being ripped off. I hope none of you are being ripped off in here. I don't want to see you ripped off. Don't do that. Listen to me. I don't want to shock you, but you don't have to give to God to get healed. You don't have to. Why? Because God is love. That's why. Well, do you understand healing, Bill? No, I don't. I don't understand it at all. I just know that my God is a healer, and I know He loves you this morning. But I know something else. I know that my Lord is a Savior. And you know, some of you are in here this morning, and I don't know where you are with the Lord, or maybe you're not with Christ at all. How are you managing? How are you living? You've got the world out here, and my Bible tells me that's being governed by Satan, and all of these lies that are being spread, and all of this junk is just pouring in on you, and you're going, well, I'll live this way and be happy, and it doesn't work. I'll live this way and be happy, it doesn't work. Well, I'll try this, and I'll try that. And you've tried it, and you're going, I'm still miserable. Of course you are. You need Christ. He's the only thing that will bring joy. I didn't say happiness. I said joy. Joy, you can only get joy from heaven. Happiness is just for a moment. Do you understand? Oh, man, I'm happy today, and then by the afternoon, you're sad. It doesn't work. But joy is forever. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And matter of fact, part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is joy. Do you have that? Do you have that this morning? If you don't, it can only come from heaven. How do you get it? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You ask Him to come into your heart. You can do that this morning right now where you're sitting. Right here when we close out in prayer as we're getting ready to do. All you have to do is say, Bill, that's me. And just lift your hand. And right where you're sitting, we'll have a prayer. And you can receive Jesus Christ right there. Why don't you come to Him? Because you know what? We may be gone this afternoon. The Lord may take the church this afternoon, and I pray that He does. It wouldn't bother me a bit, and it wouldn't surprise me a bit either. He's going to come in an hour that we expect not. You can come to Christ right now by simply lifting your hand and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. And if that's you this morning, just lift your hand high and just put it right back down. God bless you. I see that hand back there. God bless you, sir. I see that. I want to know that I have salvation. You can know that right now this morning. Anyone else before I close? Those that lifted your hands now for salvation, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now, and the whole church is going to help you pray it. So let's pray right now. Everyone say, Father, I'm a sinner, ready, willing to enter the narrow way. Therefore, I boldly confess with my mouth, before all of heaven and everyone in front of me here. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father. There is no other way. Therefore, I receive you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Rule and reign forever and ever, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus' name. I'm born again. Let's thank the Lord, shall we?